Amen. He is alive. Hallelujah. God is alive. Glory be to God. Anyways, I'll go straight to. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Maybe this will do it. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. When I was with you online in August, we looked at Paul's first prayer to the Ephesian church. Today, to kick things off, I would like us to read his second prayer to the Ephesian church. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 3. I would like to start from verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. It reads, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So therefore, according to God's riches in glory, he doesn't just want to give you a fraction. He doesn't want to give you a little bit. He wants you filled with all his fullness. Amen. You are filled with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness of God. Not a fraction, as I said. With all of it. And he has done it. You don't have to pray for it. He has done it. Amen. You ought to pray this over and over, and it's the word of God, so you can pray it over and over and over and over and over again until confidently you can say, "Father, I thank you according to your riches in glory, I am filled with all your fullness." Amen. Hallelujah. Filled with all of his fullness. Okay. Hebrews. That was the last. Was that the last reading? Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. If you can turn to Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 9 and then I will jump to verse 11. It reads in verse 9, "There remains therefore a rest." There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. You can personalize that. There remains therefore a rest for me. There remains a rest. And in verse 11, it's a command. It's not cajoling you. It's a command. "Let us therefore be diligent to enter." I think there's another version that says, "Let us labor." Labor to enter. Labor to enter. Because rest means... rest means you're no longer struggling. Rest means he is in charge. He's in control. You are no longer struggling. Amen. All he has provided for you, rest simply means it comes to you. Comes to you with ease. Yeah, you don't have to struggle anymore because you have entered your rest. Thank you very much. Yeah. Labor. Let us therefore labor to enter into his rest. Because when you're at rest, as I said, there's no struggle anymore. Glory be to God. There's no struggle anymore. You labor to enter his rest. And when you get into that rest, there's no longer any struggle. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the question now is, how do you enter that rest? What do you do? Because I can stand here and tell you labor. labor to enter rest. I can describe what rest means. But if I don't show you how to enter, what to do to enter, all I would have achieved, accomplished is just telling you how beautiful rest is. But how do you enter that rest? Amen. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Looks like the Holy Spirit went ahead of me and spoke my message to Pastor. Amen. Try and move your body without using your mind. Try and stand up without using your mind. No, it's not possible. Amen. Hallelujah. We are limited. You are limited by what you think. Henry Ford said, if you think you can't do it, you are right. No, sorry, he said, whether you think you can or cannot, you are right. Amen. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then until the renewing of your mind is something you are doing on a consistent basis. Let's clear this up. The day you said, Jesus, come into my life, you became the righteousness of God. Amen. But until your mind is renewed, you can never experience the reality that happened in your heart. Because it takes the renewing of your mind. And renewing of your mind simply means, because your mind houses your thoughts. So to renew your mind, it simply means change your thoughts. To renew your mind simply means replace your thoughts and replace it with His Word. Replace it with His Word. And it says, let's go there. Romans chapter 12. I love it. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. And God said to me, if you want to be my proof, if you want to be the proof of my good, my acceptable, my perfect will, renew your mind. So, when you got born again, I'm sure they told you, you have to read your Bible at least twice a day. Once when you wake up, and then just before you go and sleep. No, there's more to it. There's more to it. Let's prove that. Thank you, Jesus. Let's prove that in our reading from Matthew chapter 13. There's something very vital that Jesus mentioned there. And if you are not cautious, you might read over it and not notice that he actually said that. Okay. Matthew, Mr. O. It is, yes, Matthew chapter 16. I'll go straight to it. In verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. What was that rock he referred to? Because he told Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The rock he was referring to is revelation. And you can only get revelation when consistently, you are going back to God's word to read it, to study it, to meditate on it. The first introduction of the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1, he was hovering over the face of the waters. The word of God is alike. You want to meet the Holy Spirit, open your Bible, tarry there. He's the one who inspired everyone that wrote everything in this book. You want to find out what he was actually saying? Spend time with your word. Eventually, you meet, I'm sure you have said it in testimonies, or you've heard it said that the word just jumped out. That's revelation. The light comes on. as revelation. And it can only happen if it is a habit to stay in the Word. To stay in the Word. To stay in the Word. Amen. The gateway to your mind is your eyes and your ears. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, why do you talk to them in parables? He said, so that the prophecy of Elijah can be fulfilled. That seeing they won't see. But then towards the end he said, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Seeing with their eyes, hearing with their ears. Lest they understand in their heart. So you stay there. For example, my best one. I love it a lot. And by his stripes we were healed. I love that. Because through Isaiah, that was a prophecy. You know, Bible says iniquity was found in him. I think the iniquity created Holy Ghost stupidity in him. Because he heard it. He said, and by his stripes we are healed. And stupidly he still now placed those wounds on the body of Jesus. The moment they touched his body and left the stripe, sickness and disease lost its right to remain in this body. I personalize it. And my confidence in saying this is because I have don't let the devil cheat you. Because after you've read something over and over and over again, temptation is very high for you to now start relying on your memory. Don't. Because in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, attend to my word, incline your ear to my say, do not let them depart from your eyes. Yes, you have said it to the million of times. You can even know where the comma is. But do not let the devil cheat you from it. Still go back. Let it go in your eyes. And the only way you can connect what you're seeing to what you're hearing is you now give it voice. You say it. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. And then God did a perfect work through Peter. He now says, by whose stripes we were healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Create times when you can just, create times in the day when you can just pick maybe one verse and just go over and over, over it over and over again. If it's a promise, picture yourself in that promise. So, am I not overstepping my ground? No, you are not. The one who promised allowed the body of his son to be broken and his blood to be shed as your evidence that what he has promised can be yours or is yours. So just picture yourself. Stay there. Meditate. Go over it over and over and over and over again. As a testimony, of course, when the pandemic first hit, and then I was now watching the news. News, but not the news. I was watching the news. I was looking at those numbers. I said, but thank God, God reminded me, just said, do not let your heart be troubled. He said, pray not. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. The first thing I did, I stopped watching it. Stop watching the news. Amen. I stopped watching the news. Then one day, I went out on my way back. God said, break bread with your family. So as a protection over your family. So I got home, I said, we're going to break bread as we took communion. Because you don't need to wait to come to church to take communion. Jesus said, the word of God says, as often as you do it, you know, do it in remembrance. You know, you need to remember. So as we took communion, I prayed this prayer. I said, Father, You've given us authority over everything that creeps. Virus is a creeping thing. That means I have authority over it. And I said, the moment it makes contact with any of our blood, with our bodily fluids, it dies instantly. Dies instantly. And we broke bread. I don't know what. They gave us the test kit. Every time I take it, it's positive, 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 positive. I don't even know. That can only come when you've spent time with His Word. And you, because right now this is my revelation. Because I took the time. And just because I now have one revelation, I still go back there. And I still read it as though I'm reading it the first time. But the point I'm dragging you to now is, it now needs to. Yes, the news is saying, especially with this the last one. I don't know why they're giving these things name. The last one, they said it spreads very quickly. I went back. By His stripes, we were healed. It's too late. That virus is too late. Amen. It's too late. Glory be to God. And the same thing. Thank you very much. You can take your seat. Thank you very much. The same way. Because 3 John 2 should be what you strive to rest in. Even though it was a letter written to, is it Eunice? It was a letter written, but it's not written. So that is God speaking to you. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I read that for a very long time. I always used, it's nice. Prosper in all things. I'm in health. Just as your soul prospers. Every time I read, I get excited about the first part. I read the second part, I'm thinking, until it dawned on me. You cannot be more prosperous than your soul. So in other words, the picture of your life now is also a picture of how prosperous your soul is. Amen. You want a greater manifestation, and then it's not what you do. The world says it is only the CEOs that should have the fat account. No, it's not. It's not what you do. It's how you program this mind. Amen. Everybody might say they are broke. Oh, they can't afford this. Oh, and this is a good time to test God. What are these in the news? They're saying average prices is going up. This is the best time. Because he said, test me. And let me say this to you. And I'm talking to myself as well. Until tithing becomes your revelation, as a result of you going back there and reading it over and over and over again, and then you doing it. Because, thank you, Jesus. You're going to have to remind me. Who took over after Moses? Joshua, thank you very much. He told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But in it you shall meditate day and night, that you may observe to do. If you are finding tithing difficult, I dare you, just spend 3 days. And let me thank you, Jesus. Let's go there, because I don't want to read, I don't want to count how many verses. The tithing verse in Malachi chapter 3 is 10 to 2. Three verses. I dare you. 72 hours. Just meditate on that. Over and over and over and over again. They're saying gas prices is going up. They're saying the cost of living is going up. But God says, and try me now in this. I'm talking to myself as well. The reason why we struggle to tithe, just 10% too. We're thinking that 10%. renew your mind. Renew your mind. Just 10%. The reason why we struggle to tithe is because we haven't enjoyed.
the blessing of a tither. The first time you,
let me read it. We've turned there. He says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you what? Blessed. Blessed. I'm talking to myself. The reason why we still struggle to honor God with that 10%, I'm still talking to myself, it's not 10% of your net. There's no here in this country. Before you receive it, they call it a pay as you earn. Before you receive, they've taken their own. It's not 10% of what's left. It's 10%. I'm talking to myself. It's 10% of your growth. The reason why you struggle to do it, you haven't tasted the blessing of the tither. Because the moment you taste it, and as Pastor rightly said, giving becomes. I entrusted him with 10%, which has now connected me to his unlimited supply. So, giving becomes, and then you have the DNA of the greatest giver. You have the DNA of the greatest giver. You want to revolution, you want to turn it on its head. Spend the next 3 days just going over and over and over. Just read it. Read it over and over and over again. Change your mentality. I'll go there. Some of you are. The way Jesus put it, he said, what's it called? The deceitfulness of riches. If you're such a, if you're comfortable today, because you know, ISA check, investments check, property number two check, number one is for rent check. If that's the reason why you're comfortable, hey, you are missing out on a lot. You are missing out on a lot. Amen. But if you're sat here because you've taken from your limited income, and you've honored him with his 10%, which has now connected you to his unlimited supply. Amen. And then you are now, to now enjoy the blessing of the tither, you have to labor. Because there is a rest. There is a rest. I've shared this testimony before. I think it was 2018 or 17. That is irrelevant. What's it called? Kenneth Copeland took delivery of his second private jet. His first one is the fastest one, Citation 11. The second one was the most luxurious private jet. And I said, what does a man of God need two jets for? We're on two separate planes. Okay, two separate levels. So the plane landed, because he recorded it. I watched it. The plane landed. And I said, yeah, they have to believe God for a hangar. And ask me what the cost of the hangar. You know, hangar is just where they're going to park the airplane. I think $1.7 million. I said, hey, just to house, just to house airplane, 1.7. And then I'm his partner, so I receive his letters. In February, he was writing to his partner. Thank God, the plane now has a hangar. That means 1.7 has come. Amen. Rest. You want to enjoy. If you're saying, but what do I need all that money for? Get it first. Yeah, take the one. If it's just £200 that sustains you in a month, the rest, bring it to God. We know what to do with it. Amen. Don't be. I've cracked this joke before, but I'll do it again. Nobody here. Yeah, but some people would have a very hard time adjusting in heaven, because what we consider the most precious, that's what you used for tar. In heaven. Amen. And that's your God. Amen. If you're not enjoying it, and I'm speaking to myself too, if you're not enjoying it, your mind is still not yet renewed. It's not. Glory be to God. And to get your mind renewed, so you now become God's proof, His showpiece, the one that He would put in here. Look at Him. He is evidence of my good, my acceptable, and my perfect will. Replace your own thoughts with His thoughts. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Many times I had to stop myself because I was getting a bit, you know, when I'm doing the maths, teaching in school, I had to remind myself, yeah, these kids are privileged, not because I'm a good mathematician, no, because the greatest teacher is inside of me, and that is why I am effective. Amen. And my mind is renewed to that. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's not your skill. It's not your skill. It's the fact that you have given His word its rightful place. Amen. You've given the word of God its rightful place. And by so doing, you have now permitted Him to live through you. Amen. Glory, glory be to God. Glory, glory be to God. So there you go. You want to walk in God's perfect will. Perfect will. It's easy. What do you do with your time? Invest it in His word. Now, just in case we all do not know, but then there's a pastor in Nigeria. Okay, two things. I'm rounding up now because I know. Two things. First of all, they brought it to his attention because, you know, Forbes and all these funny people, they like to do, the 10 richest man, blah, blah, blah. So they did this 10 richest pastors in Africa. And his name was on top. He was like, yes, praise God. Until now found out they wrote also the worth of all those pastors. It was, remember, around something $1 million. He said, that's an insult. That's an insult. No, that's not, that's, my worth is according to His riches in glory. Yeah? That's because He has renewed His mind. Amen. What I actually wanted to say was, there was a time, whenever he's at work, he was in full-time ministry. If he spends 10 hours at work, he spends three of those hours with God's word, you know, maybe listening to tapes or reading, meditating the word of God, and then he uses 7 hours to do his work as a pastor. God arrested him one day and said, turn it over. Give me 70%, and then you can administer in 30. Yeah? He's now the pastor of the single largest. It houses 50,000. And they have 7 services. Is it still 7? Well, they have multiple services on a Sunday. And it all happened when he realized what will make it happen is this right here. Is this right here. Yeah. Give your attention to His word. Let what He say, let what has been written take over what you, let what He has written be what you think. It might sound, when I bring out my Bible in school and the students see me say, oh, sir, I didn't know you're a Bible basher. Hey, praise God. But it is the extent to which you will enjoy all that God has done in you is dependent. On how much of your time you give to God's word and the quality of the time you give to God's word. Or you can say, show me how you use God's word and I'll give you a picture of who you are. And I'll tell myself, because it still hasn't improved. You know, your phone records how long you spend on different apps. I have a Bible apple. Oh, glory be to God. Glory. And I think it's still a Candy Crush that has. Amen. You want to walk in His perfect will.
attend to his word. And the aim of you giving attention to his word is so you can replace your thoughts with his thoughts. So you can then become his proof of his good, his acceptable, and his perfect will. Have you learned something this morning? Praise God. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We receive your word. We thank you for your word. And we receive your word. Before I hand over the mic, for those of you who have been here for a very long time, you may have noticed there are a few lines I use in my opening prayer before I start ministry. And God told me one day, there is no force this side of eternity that can withstand the force of the joint combination of light and understanding that hits you every time his word enters your heart. Or the moment you introduce his word to any situation you are going through, there's nothing that can withstand the joint force of light and understanding that comes as a result of God's word entering your heart. That should be your encouragement. That should be your encouragement to make this a lifelong commitment. It's, don't see it as you becoming more spiritual. And I don't do it so that people can see it. Amen. Yeah, that's not the reason. That's not the reason why you're doing it. You're doing it so you can become his evidence of his good, his acceptable, and his perfect will. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Amen. Please be seated for a while.
We still have some time before we finish this service. I just share one of the things.
We thank God for that word. And so, you see, it's important you pray. But prayer alone cannot solve your problem. You need revelation. What you don't know can compromise you. You can be praying and praying, and nothing is changing because your eyes are not opened. So you need revelation. And so one of the important prayers is that the Lord should open your eyes to see what you can't see. You can spend 10 years not seeing something that is right before you and can change your life. You have to pray that God should open your eyes. You can be in a situation, a difficult situation, yeah, you're doing the same thing, repeating the same strategy, not solving any problem because you can't see. You have to pray that God should open. It's a personal thing. If you invested 90% of your prayer time praying that God should open your eyes, you will achieve more than banging God's ears with your request. Yeah, because you need revelation. Amen. And let me just say, I didn't plan to say that at all. That's not what I wanted to tell you. It just came from my spirit. So pay attention to it. And then the second aspect of getting light is the word. So you attend to his word. Yeah? Day in, day out. Light will enter your heart. Your faith will rise. Then you can find results. And then you don't have this, there will be no space for blaming God. If you find yourself blaming God, you are not attending to his word. You will blame God when your faith is low. Blaming God is a sign that your faith is what? Low. And this, the remedy to your, to a low faith, yeah, is revelation, which comes from the word, and also prayer that God should open your eyes. Amen. I would have blessed somebody. I wanted to say something, just something to bless you. Okay, open your Bible to 1 Peter 1:7. This is a fun fact. Because revelation is progressive. You don't know it all in one moment. As you continue to grow spiritually, you begin to see what you are not seeing. 1 Peter 1:7. Somebody read it. 1 Peter 1:7. I'm sharing with you one of my recent revelations. First Peter 1:7. Open there. Can you find it? Let me just open mine to confirm that I'm not misleading you. Okay. Yes. Anyone wants to read? Sharon? Okay, yes, I got for you. 1 Peter 1:7. Sorry. I owed it. Yeah, go on.
These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor with Jesus Christ is revealed.
Amen. Can someone tell me what the Bible says about gold in that place? Hello? What did the Bible just tell you about the gold in this world? In that verse 1:7? In what? It perishes. The gold in this world, that's the most precious metal. Well, can we even say it's the most precious thing that the world can give you? Material. Gold is the most precious material you can get from this world. Bible tells you that it perishes. The gold in heaven is not the same gold on earth. I'll show you now. Go to Revelation 21. I just wanted to, this revelation, hopefully it will bless you. You just meditate on it and you will see that God is in a great dimension. He knows what he's doing. Revelation 21. Well, I'm going to show you two verses. What I'm showing two is just for you to know that I'm not misinterpreting it. Give me Revelation 21:18. Someone else? Sharon? Or anyone? I wanted to reserve a slot for you. Revelation 21:18. Then I'll give another verse. Revelation 21:18. Someone? Yes. Revelation 21:18. Go on.
The construction of its walls was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass.
What is the property of the gold in heaven? What is the property of the gold in heaven? It's transparent. Okay, let's assume that, you know, you are still processing. Let's show you another one. Revelation 21. Revelation 21:21. Let's have another person. Yes, I'll go for you. Revelation 21:21. Just for emphasis sake.
The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass.
Pure gold like what? The gold on earth is impure. Hello? That's why he's telling you it's pure gold. Hello? The gold on earth is impure and it's perishable. Don't put too much value on it. But the gold in heaven is transparent. Have you ever seen transparent gold? Hallelujah. I thought that would bless you because it really blessed me. Do you know why it's transparent? Anybody give me? £5. Why is gold in the New Jerusalem? By the way, it's not the New Jerusalem. You don't say the New York. It's New Jerusalem. Check your Bible. The name of the city is what? New Jerusalem. Just like you have New York. It's not the. It's New Jerusalem. Amen. Why is the gold transparent? I never thought about it. I think. Do you know why? Yeah? Shall I tell you later? Are you interested in knowing why the gold in heaven is pure and transparent? You want to know? Okay, thank you. I'll show you the reason. Verse 23. Somebody read 23 for me. Marriage, you're too quiet today. Do you want to read? Or should I give you a break? Say? Yes or no? Yes. Revelation 21:23. Please follow your Bible. I hold it.
Okay. And the city has no need of sun or moon.
Why?
The glory of God illuminates the city, and the lamp is its light.
Amen. See, when you read Revelation 21, telling you this, it's like it's clear as crystal. Said the walls is made of jasper, clear as crystal. The whole gold is pure, transparent, because the light has to shine through. Amen? The light illuminates the city. It's a 12th floor. The city that God built is a city that has foundations. Plural. I've ever seen all cities have one foundation. God's city has 12. That 12, not 12 floors, like a multi-story building, but 12 foundations. 12 what? Foundation. That is 12 levels. And God is on top. His light shines through. It must be transparent. Because the light must shine through. Amen. Let's rise up and pray and just give thanks to God. He's a great God. He's awesome. Awesome God. He's glorious. Hallelujah. Nothing in this world we compare with God. But the eye has not seen. He has not heard it. The heart of man has not considered what God has prepared for those who love him. Both on earth and much more. Much more in heaven. Whatever you are doing on earth is poor quality. Poor, perishable. Everything on earth is perishable. The only thing that is not perishable is your spirit. Amen. And your soul. And you want to invest into that. Because what God has prepared for you is much better, is much glorious. He is a glorious God. Father, we thank you because of what you have in store for those who love you. Thank you, God, because you have in store for that which is eternal in the heavens. Imperishable. Hallelujah. Top quality. Glorious, glorious. And we dedicate our lives to walking with you. To living by faith. Bible says, the just shall do what? They shall live by faith. Just talk to God and say, I want to continually live by faith. I don't want to just live by my smartness or by my brain, but by your wisdom, by your word. I want to renew my mind such that your thoughts become my thoughts. That's the pathway to victory. When his thoughts become what? Your thoughts. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your name. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in our week. Be glorified. Let our lives be lived for your glory. Let us bear fruit. Use us to bring other people into the kingdom. Help us not to be religious hypocrites, plain religion, but help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. And the church said,